hopefully with the recommendations that were made, the workers in the future will work in a safer environment than has been in the past.
People need to know that when they send their loved one, their son, their father, their mother out to work at a sawmill, that they're going to come home safe at the end of the day.
The recommendations, I think, are good. Obviously, we just received all the recommendations, so we'll take some time to review them. But I certainly do believe that they will move us toward a safer industry and a safer province in the future.
That's the president of Lakeland Mills, Greg Stewart. You also heard BC Premier Christy Clark, and also the voice of John Little. He's the father of Alan Little, one of the two men killed in a Prince George sawmill explosion 3 years ago. All of them were reacting to recommendations made last week to improve workplace safety at BC Mills. And our very own Andrew Curiata has been looking into those recommendations, and he's with me this morning on the program. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
So give me some context for this. Who was making these recommendations?
Well, actually, it was a 5-person jury who were selected for the coroner's inquest into the deaths of Alan Little and his co-worker, Glenn Roach. Those are the men who died following that explosion and fire at the Lakeland Mills sawmill in 2012. And the coroner's inquest had two main purposes. The first, to determine the official cause of death of these two men. And the second, to make recommendations to prevent future deaths from happening.
And is this the same as the jury for a criminal trial? It's just it's regular citizens selected at random?
Not quite. Because the inquest is so technical, there was a lot of information about mill operations and safety standards. It would have taken a long time to educate just your average person about how these things work. So in order to skip that whole baseline education, this jury was made up of people with some knowledge of mills and the forest industry. But other than that, there's not much we know about them because they are not allowed to talk about this inquest or the recommendations at all. But one thing I will say is that the chief coroner, the families of the men who died, the owners of the mill, everybody who sort of was involved in this, they all said that this jury contributed a lot to what was a very thorough process with their technical questions and their follow-up and their research that they were doing.
Yes, and so we've got 33 recommendations from this jury. Tell me about some of them.
All right, so these recommendations are made based on what the jury heard about what happened in the lead-up, the night of, and the aftermath of this explosion. Throughout the inquest, they heard about safety concerns that were in place before the explosion. They heard about what happened that night and what happened in the weeks and months that followed in terms of the investigation and the follow-up. And throughout the time, they heard a number of things that either went wrong or, at the very least, could have been done better.
And what do you mean by that, in terms of done better?
Well, I mean, basically, these recommendations are to try to prevent a future death from happening. So I'm not going to have time to go through all the recommendations, but I'm just going to pick up a few things that stood out to me. And I'm going to start right in the middle, Section 12, where they begin the recommendations into the BC Fire Code. Now, you're probably familiar, at least passingly, with the BC Fire Code, and certainly anybody who's owned a business, especially a restaurant or a club or built something, is familiar with this. These are the rules that are about how to build things and maintain things in order to minimize the risk of fire. And these are mandatory rules, meaning you do have to follow them, but they are rules largely without teeth. Recommendation 13 says that the inquest heard, even though the BC Fire Commissioner is supposed to enforce the BC Fire Code, they don't actually have any way of doing so. So the suggestion is that the provincial government change the rules so that if the Fire Commissioner discovers you aren't following this mandatory fire code, they can penalize you, something they can't do right now. And another recommendation is to make it easier for people to see the fire code.
See the fire code.
Yeah, and the issue around here is if I go online and I go on Google and I search for BC Fire Code, it does take me to a government website telling me all about the fire code and why I should follow it. But then it suggests if I would like to read this fire code, I buy it for a minimum price of $125. Now, if I do that, I get to read the fire code online and I get a spiral-bound copy of it for my own personal library. Okay. But if you don't want to pay $125, say you just want to check out the fire code for one day because you have concerns about your workplace, you can purchase a one-day pass for $15, and then you can look at the code online for one day and one day only. Now, the problem with this, I suppose, is that it basically limits the people who are reading the fire code to the people who are willing to pay for it, and it might reduce the chances that I just take a passing glance at it. So the recommendation from the jury, let everyone see the fire code online anytime for free.
Okay. Andrew, what else stood out for you from these recommendations?
Well, there are a lot of safety issues. For example, if there's a fire or explosion in your workplace, tell someone. The background to this one is that the inquest heard that in January 2012, Just 3 months before this fatal explosion, Lakeland Mills had two other significant explosions or fires, and neither of them were reported to WorkSafe BC or fire officials. The jury says reporting should be required and that these near misses should be opportunities to take a look at the risks of what you're doing. Jury also recommended that all new mills and upgrades be built to the highest possible standards, using the new Lakeland Mill as an example of best practice, and that all shifts at BC Mills be fully staffed with maintenance and cleanup crews. They also said that the possibility of automatic dust monitors could be explored, the thinking being that if everyone can easily keep track of dust levels in a mill, it would reduce the risk of a buildup leading to a fire and explosion like what we saw in Prince George and in Burns Lake in the same year.
Andrew Curiato is with me this morning. We're discussing some of the recommendations from the coroner's inquest that wrapped up last week into the explosion at the Lakeland Mills. And Andrew, you mentioned some recommendations about how people respond when an emergency happens. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, the night of this explosion, it seems that there were a few issues in the immediate aftermath as well. A big one that the inquest heard is that a number of the injured workers were taken to the hospital in private vehicles because ambulances weren't there for them. And the jury suggested BC Ambulance review its response times and coordination, so it is clear that people who are critically injured get the help they need as soon as possible. The jury also made a recommendation that all emergency response teams in Prince George, ambulance, police, hospital, hold biannual exercises to train for major incidents. That's not happening right now. And they recommend this because the inquest heard that there were a number of communication challenges. People weren't talking to each other, and so the response was not as coordinated as it could have been. And then moving beyond that, there were recommendations to the RCMP and the federal government that the laws and procedures around criminal negligence, be reviewed. The problem here is that throughout the inquest, we heard that there were challenges and missed opportunities for the investigation to lead to some sort of charges around these deaths and the injuries. RCMP only took 2.5 days to conclude their investigation, and they didn't talk to any mill managers or look to any workplace policies or issues with Workplace BC as well. Overall, the inquest heard that successfully charging someone with negligence in workplace incidents leading to injury or death is very difficult in the first place. So the jury says those rules should be reviewed.
Ooh, this is a lot of stuff. What's the chances then that some of these recommendations will be put into place or given some teeth, as you say earlier?
Yeah, well, I asked the Premier about this when she visited on Friday. She told me that the Minister for Jobs, Shirley Bond, is already reviewing the recommendations and the province will be tackling each point one by one. WorkSafe BC has already had a number of reforms following this explosion. More may be coming. Greg Stewart, the president of Lakeland Mill, says his organization is already doing as much as it can do to promote a culture of safety. But ultimately, these recommendations are non-binding, meaning there's nothing compelling them to be followed. But that said, John Orr, who is inquest counsel for the coroner's service, says in his experience, these sorts of recommendations do make a difference.
Generally, they're very effective. The chief coroner now distributes these, and then they always follow up to see how they're doing, and we nearly always get responses back. People are very responsive to recommendations from a coroner's inquest, and historically, they've made amazing changes in society. So,
it's John Orr, inquest counsel for the coroner's service. And Andrew, who's going to be tracking it?
Well, what the coroner's service does is reach out to all these organizations that were given recommendations and ask them to provide a written response detailing whether or not they are going to implement the recommendations, how they're going to do it, and if they aren't going to bother with the recommendation, why not? And Russell, we will be tracking that as well. Over the summer, I'm going to be reaching out to all of these agencies and asking them the same thing. Have you put these recommendations into place? How? And if not, why not? And as those come in, we'll share them and provide regular updates here and online. So if you want to track that with us, listeners can head over to our website, our Facebook or our Twitter pages. We're cbc.ca/daybreaknorth. We're online on social media at Daybreak North. And right now, you can read all the recommendations. And as time goes on, we'll start filling in the blanks on whether or not those recommendations are being put into place.
Andrew Curiata, our associate producer here on Daybreak in Prince George. Andrew, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.